Welcome to This Is Silly with the Hooligans, brought to you by Euro Electric. It's been a long, long time, so we're back. Brad.
I'm here.
Bird.
Where are our tickets to Kansas City?
We'll get to that.
Shut the fuck up.
Later tonight.
That's
my
answer.
We will get to that.
But first, we got a lot to talk about because it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. We haven't had a pod since the Wilmington game.
It's really only been like three weeks.
3 weeks, but we played five games in 19 days.
I mean, technically, we only missed one pod. This would be the next pod.
Right. But Matt and Mitch were out of town for
during
different
the best
things.
Soccer week this town's ever
known. I know. And the funny thing is that I took 1 week out. You took the other one. We overlapped once. We still missed it.
Tragic.
And I was
tragic.
Sitting there with my gimpy ass up in the stands enjoying every minute of it. Well, standing.
Brad.
I was standing on one leg. I've only got one leg. But
and your cane.
I had my cane.
You know what? I'd have hobbled myself if I could have been at some of them games.
Yeah. I know. I would have.
No, it was a good time. You know, I think tonight, since we have so much to cover, we're going to focus on the Open Cup, and then we're going to focus on the two Louisville games that were the most recent.
And we'll just pretend that the Toronto loss never happened.
What are you talking about?
The first 80 seconds.
You know what? Brian Gaul, the man that's not won a bucket, he was on four goals in four games.
Yeah, he's been doing well. Yeah,
he's been on a roll.
Yeah, it's hard because he hits those goals when it count, you know, or when it happens, you're like fantastic. But then something happens afterwards where you forget about it, and it's not a slight against the dude. It's just something bad happens, something good happens. You know, oh, you scored a goal. Oh, now we went to penalty kicks.
Nice.
What are you
going to
do?
Takes it on the penalty kicks though. He's nailed those, and
that got sent off. Magic. What a week for him.
To be fair, he did deserve the red.
Yeah, he did.
But so did the other guy.
And he came out and said, yeah, I had that coming.
But so did the other guy who was scissor holding him and kicking at him.
Yeah.
So brings me to a point that we make every time, shit refs in a third division.
Yeah, it is what it is.
They've been
I'm not going to complain about the refs. I mean,
they've been
terrible. Well, I know, but they're terrible universally.
Yeah. That is the one thing. Against Louisville, they were terrible both ways.
I go back to saying that we're all very forgiving when our player shanks a clearance to their forward who then scores. We're all very, but when a ref makes a mistake, we all want to butcher him. You know, this is a league that's going to sort the wheat from the chaff in every single department.
Oh yeah,
refs included.
Yeah, these refs are planning to move up the ladder too.
Well, you'd think, but
or down.
But then again, saying that, I've seen some MLS refs that. These guys.
That's
what was it? MLS came out this week and said one of the refs missed two red cards that he should have had.
Yeah.
It's like when the league says you did bad, now you know you fucked up.
Wow.
Anyway, right. On to happier things.
Let's talk about
Some Open Cup.
Open Cup, yes. We had our first game against Des Moines.
They're a good team.
They're a very good team.
We knew that from a couple years ago when we went up there. They've always kind of had the Lions number, and for good reason.
Mm-hmm. Hard workers, well organized.
Teamwork.
Yeah.
Teamwork. And it showed.
And they do bring back a lot of the same players, so they kind of build a chemistry. A lot of your PDL teams, it's hit and miss. Who comes back? Who moves on? Des Moines has a nice system going, an organization, speaking of Canadian hockey. But no, they were there. They were, I mean, flat out, they were trying out for future jobs. I mean,
absolutely they were.
There's a lot of connections between the coaching staff at St. Louis FC and Des Moines. They know each other. And, you know,
some of those Des Moines lads are going to be at SLU and local kids anyway. So,
but I mean,
a couple of those kids are going to be in the STLFC jersey next year.
Yeah,
too.
I mean,
too.
Dale was watching that. And he was like, "Oh God, he beat us!" But get his name and number, you know. So
he's not tapping up if the fans say it on a podcast.
That's right.
So I mean, yeah, they're good kids. They're a quality team, and you know, I mean, I don't want to say we got lucky to beat them, but
we had to work
harder than I thought we would have. And
the first half was pretty turgid. Let's be honest, we all looked at each other as if to say,
"Yeah."
But
big winner in extra time.
He shouldn't have even got that far. I mean, Brian Gaul had the chip shot that kind of snuck in, and then about a minute later, Jeremy got loose one on one, and he kind of messed it up, and the goalie saved it. He could have put the game to bed there, and. Chad Vandergriff gave the penalty away, which was unfortunate on him because it was his first start And he really, really did play well. I mean,
he played great the whole game.
He came in and didn't miss a beat.
Yeah. And he's had a couple good games since, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm really glad for Chad, because when I've seen him around the club, he's not been getting the minutes, but he's always happy, smiling, pleasant.
Wasn't one of the big name announcements, you know, when they were signing players. And not a lot of people were, you know, I mean, not they weren't down on the guy, but it wasn't a splashy signing.
Exactly. When Musa comes in and he's played in the Olympics and he played for his country and he was at Fulham.
Right.
You know, Chad's
and he was one of the later ones that was almost like an add-on. I'm really happy for him and hope to get him on the podcast, you know, soon.
Because, I mean, he's a local
He's taking advantage of his chances here with the schedule back up. You know, they've had to rest some people. They've had to rotate, and he's making
good. Of all the guys that have come in and been rotated in, he's been the one that's impressed me the most.
Absolutely. And the work ethic shows. I mean, when you see him out there, he's scanning, watching his markings. I don't want to say cautious, because I don't want it to sound timid or trepidation, but it's cautious in a don't fuck up.
But he just simple things. Just do the simple things right. And you know, make the tackle, lay it off to a midfielder. Just simple
every
things.
Every time.
But and then we 1-1. We're in extra time. They had a player sent off, so they were tiring, and there was only going to be one winner in extra time. And when it went in, that was a celebration, eh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good time.
That's the moment that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
I made the point when I came back from the Tulsa friendly, and I said, you know, I've been to certain big games in my life, but that moment where it's your own team winning in that moment, it's as good a soccer moment as you'll ever have. And I stand by that. That was as good a moment watching soccer as I've had in a long, long time.
Well, and seeing Twitter the next day and Facebook, how many people are posting the videos, posting just every, you know, emotional tie to that moment.
You're going to cry when we talk about Minnesota.
Sure. Podcast over.
We'll get to that, but yes.
Yeah. But that was a great moment when Jeremy came over and celebrated with the crowd. I mean, a lot of us were standing by the fence because the game was over, or we thought it was going to be over, and then when it went into extra time, we just kind of stayed there.
And it was freezing.
And we were all huddled up there, and when he scored and turned our direction, I thought, this is going to be great.
It
know?
Was sick.
That was the thing, too, because he just peeled off right away, and you knew it was coming. You almost planted your foot to get ready. Just because the crush was going to happen.
And all the players came in and piled in.
I mean, I was there with Jeremy giving the hugs, and all of a sudden Sam Fink's jumping over me.
Yeah.
You know, like, and
Duty was in the air.
Gall grabbed me by the head and screamed in my face.
Yeah.
Like I was one of the players.
And there was a picture that the official photographer took. It was right after the ball went in. The ball boy.
His face is
just pure exploding.
Jubilation.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great moment.
Goosebumps. I got goosebumps.
The win was great for the casual fan that saw, hey, they won, that they're going places. We're going to go to the games anyway.
Yeah.
But after the Toronto game, things were on a bit of a downer. It was great morale booster for the casual fan to keep coming back. And, you know, so, yeah.
So that led to a matchup with
Minnesota,
the recently announced moving to MLS.
Good for them, by the way.
Yeah, they've been, you know, doing it for years.
The Dark Clouds have paid their dues.
Good fan base, good organization. You know, hopefully they get it all done. But, they're moving up. But it was a nice – we're playing the next level. We're playing the NASL. And, you know, I think we kind of overlooked Des Moines a little bit. Not that we weren't ready to play, but I think we thought it was going to be an easier game.
Correct.
I think the same thing could be said for Minnesota. I think they thought we were going to be an easier game. We're a mid-table expansion team, you know, and a league below them. We can debate whether Division Two and Division Three are, you know, really separated by that much.
More fool them then.
Well, no, I mean, they came and they played, and I mean, they started Ibarra. It's not like they started,
scrubs. Yeah.
But I think they were surprised with how hard we worked. How much they were up for the game. And again, it was another one of those nights where it was just, you know, it's building. This is magical.
I'm
going to
climb under the table for this one. Let me know when you're done.
So I'm driving across Indiana
yeah.
during the game. In Illinois and Indiana, on my way up to Western New York. And I'm listening to it on the radio. And Bill and Bob on the radio are basically saying, this is the best we've played. We're the better team here. We're supposed to be the little team, and they're the bigger team, but you wouldn't know that.
Everybody out there, you couldn't point to somebody who wasn't working. Mm-hmm. That was the key. I mean, work. And, I mean, several times throughout the first half, you know, I was leaning over talking to different people and be like, huh? I think Siasulka is going to be the man of the match. He's, you know, working his ass off. Well, you know, God, dude, he's still good, too. And, well, how can you overlook Musa? I mean, everybody was, you know, everybody had a different man of the match going. And as it kept going and it kept going, it was just like people quit thinking about it. It was just entranced by that game and waiting for it to happen. I mean,
so I'm in Chicago for work. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find somewhere where I can watch the game and have a beer. You know, I know I'm going to be watching on the phone, but everywhere is watching the goddamn Blackhawks playoffs game. So it's already hellish enough for me not being there. Now I have to listen to that goddamn song being played while they score goals, and I'm watching on a little tiny screen.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I have an earphone in, just one earphone in, so I'm not being totally rude.
Right.
And I can hear the Hooligans mm-hmm. over the broadcast. Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those things where the emotional tie to what we do is already strong to begin with. You know, that's my guys. That's my group. Mm-hmm. But just hearing it radiate through the park while the players are just out there giving it their all and seeing it in a way that I've never seen it before.
It was a weird night because attendance was down. I mean, it was a weeknight game, which are always weird. It had been rainy off and on, like it has been for the last 4 weeks. and they only had a week, really, to promote it.
Correct.
Because they, I mean, didn't know they were going to play. And so attendance was down. I forget what it was, but it was, you know, 3,500 or something like that. And, but it was loud. It was louder than other nights, you know. For some reason, everybody was into it. And more people around the stadium were joining in. And when it got to the penalty kicks, it was crazy. I mean,
so I'm sitting there, again, watching in a bar, watching penalty kicks. Yeah. I know people have to be looking at me like I'm having an epileptic seizure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's in. It's not it. And just when Pace made that first save.
Yeah.
Immediately, my mentality, and I don't know what it was like there, but immediately my mind, fuck it, we have it.
Yeah, that. I mean, it was a definite turning point. I mean, when they were coming out to line up, first of all, you know, I was texting Jeremy. It's like, okay, we're going crazy when they kick. We're going dead silent when we kick, you know, try to get them. And, I mean, literally, you know, we put our hands up and the whole crowd got quiet.
Yeah.
Except for a few drunks behind the goal. But maybe that's good. They got in the other goaltender's head a little bit. But when they were kicking, it was, you know, just all out. But Pace walked by us on his way to the goal. Like, first, we found out they're kicking at our end, you know. Yeah. So we're like, okay, this is perfect.
Which, how great is that?
Yeah. Pace walked by, and he gave us a look that was like, I'm confident, I'm ready. But it was almost like, if you guys believe me, I'll believe it.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know
yeah.
what I mean? And then after the game, you know, I mean, he just got mobbed. But we were talking to him, and he was like, yeah. As soon as I saved that first one, I was fine. But I was a little nervous up to that point, you know, which, I mean, who wouldn't be?
And what a fucking save.
But he
great
made
save.
That.
Great, stick low to his left like
he
that?
He made yeah. that and, perfect save.
And punched it clean out. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, there's no chance of backspin. It was.
Barklage buried our first one, came
Jesus
over and was, you know, in the corner, like screaming, you know, at all the fans to get up.
I know, I watched it later with a tear in my eye, rocking backwards and forwards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But.
And then when the next. Minnesota guy missed it.
I was showing, as I say, I was with my Brazilian brother-in-law this weekend, and I was showing him the penalties.
Yeah.
And the guy, the second guy to walk up, they said, oh, and this is Roberto, and he's from Brazil, and he made his start with Flamengo, and then he skies it over the bar,
yeah.
and my Brazilian brother-in-law goes, and that is why he's not at Flamengo anymore.
But yeah, I mean, it just built. I mean, you know, we were all just holding it in, and as soon as, you know, it was, I mean, they missed their third one, hit the post, and, you know, we buried the next one, and, I mean, the fans just stormed the field. I mean, and from both sides. I mean, the Luligans were in the corner, but like the main stands, the expensive seats were coming on. I mean, everybody was on the field, and the players were taking selfies and jumping up and down, and it was crazy.
PK, this weekend, Pat Kelly said he felt like he was Kevin Bacon in Animal House.
Yeah, he's trying to stop people from going on the field. Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, I mean, Gigi, I saw her after the game. She's like, yeah, I told PK, you can't stop him. No. Don't even try. It's, you know.
It was not going to happen.
And it made for a perfect moment, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, the players were all happy. I mean, guys were walking by high-fiving each other and, you know, taking pictures with kids. And I was trying to talk to Siasalka, and literally in our three-minute conversation, I just wanted to, you know, tell him he had a great game and everything. He had to stop and take selfies with four different people. You know, he'd be like, yeah, and oh, hold on. Turn around, take a selfie. You know, and, oh, not just the kid. The dad wants one too. You know, it was great. So, I mean.
When I was sitting there and everybody started posting their pictures that night. And
yeah.
Again, you know, as Bird said, rocking back and forth in the hotel room, razor blade in hand. And there was a picture of Pace playing the drum in the middle of the circle. And it's like, I have no idea what was being chanted. It doesn't matter. All I just see is that gloved hand swinging the drum mallet. I'm like, son
and, of and big respect to the dark clouds that made it down. There were 5 to 10 of them. They came in a big Sprinter van down, mm-hmm. and great people. And, I mean, when I left the park, I mean, they were trying to get people to leave the field, but it just wasn't happening. I mean, you know, everybody was out there. Well, I started to walk back, and I walked by where the dark clouds were. And
to be fair, it took you 30 minutes.
It did take me 30 minutes. Taka was over there talking to those guys, which was great. You know, they remembered him, and mm-hmm. I think they pulled Ambo aside and said hi to him too. But, I mean, class fans, great people. We sent them home with some Bruligans, and when we made it back out to the tailgate after the game, they had left Minnesota beers in our cooler. You know.
That's cool.
Perfect day.
Sidebar to that, and I don't think we mentioned it, but big ups to the Des Moines fans, too.
Yeah, some of the Red Army came down
for that. There's
about
7 or 8 of them, and they were they remembered us from back in the day, and that's why they decided that was going to be a good trip.
And they also brought some beers, and we shared some beers with them, too.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I did like that they had, like, two flags on a massive, like, 30-foot flagpole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't bring an umbrella in.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're from Des Moines. I think that was kind of the, you know, to be fair, that's their tallest building in Des Moines.
But no, the Minnesota night, I mean, the Des Moines night was great. I mean, you guys both were there for that. And I mean, the Minnesota night took it up a notch. I mean, because it wasn't just one moment. I mean, it was the celebration of the whole game, you know. And at the end, we were like, you know, everybody gets the player of the match because everybody did something on that field.
The spoils of winning that game were so big. If you go back to the press conference last April when Tim Holt was here and we were talking about, you know, getting a new team, and he reminded us that we'll be in Open Cup and we may get to play an MLS team, you know, we all looked at each other with wide-eyed amazement, what we can play an MLS team, and now it's actually...
But I said to myself at the time, don't get too worked up.
I know.
This is an expansion team.
I know.
And you know, we're going to have to win a couple games to get there, you know, but as we were onto the field that night, I mean, it was a bad omen. I didn't like it from the start, but Chris Byron started chanting, like, within the first minute of the game, we want KC. And I'm like, shut up. You're going to jinx this whole thing, you know, and at the end of the game, I mean, that's the song Pace was playing to the drum to, you know, we want Kansas City, you know, and I mean, it's a great moment. I do also want to mention Jason McAdams came up with another beautiful chant during the game against Minnesota, 10,000 lakes and 0 open cups. that was a good chant that we all, you know, chanted through that game. But so that with that win, we go on and we are facing Sporting Kansas City,
the Wiz,
at the modern day Taj Mahal of
American soccer.
So,
and it's funny, I was just there a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
and I'm much happier to be going back this time.
I'm well.
Well, and it's also funny because I said, you know, I really need to go to see a game there, but I just don't want to go see Sporting. So I'm like thinking, well, maybe if Houston goes, I'll make a, you know, trip to see Houston play there or something. And lo and behold, now I have a really good reason to go to,
as I say, my
Livestrong Stadium.
My wife or child will have to be on the operating table for me not to be there. I mean, it's well, and I know Pat Kelly is listening to this going, we play Harrisburg first.
We'll be there, Pat. We'll be there.
Don't worry. But, no worries.
And we'll talk about that in just a minute.
It's going to be a day out.
And the thing is, don't get me wrong, they're a good team. Sporting Kansas City is not a bad team. We're not getting an easy draw here.
No.
But, again, we're the little team that can right now.
And MLS teams typically don't bring out their big guns at this stage
correct.
Of the Open Cup.
I mean, we're probably not going to see Mr. LaRue. We're not going to...
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll see some of them, but they'll rest some guys. And, I mean, again, they have a weekend game on either side to think about, too, so they'll be planning their roster. Something I do want to mention, Mark Pace has played out of his head those two games, and we have that luxury. Before, we talked about having two goalkeepers and keeping them both happy. Well, this month it's been easy because, you know, Khan plays on the weekends and Pace plays during the week. And they've both been fantastic. So,
and the reason being is that Khan can't or
can't
get cup tied.
Yeah. Chicago's going to need him starting this week. They've got Louisville City or that the Open Cup game. They're playing Louisville City. We can talk about that for a second. Every NASL team that matched up with a USL team lost. USL
correct.
Swept that series. They've still got
Cosmos and Atlanta
in because they played different
Chattanooga
leagues.
Chattanooga and Jersey Express.
Right. So, good news for USL. But let's talk about Kansas City. The only aspect that is bad about this Kansas City trip.
It's a weekday.
Well, it's a weekday. That's rough. But it's also... they're not giving us enough tickets.
And let's be absolutely crystal clear. They are not giving us enough tickets. It's not, you know, it was said earlier is that they have to hold 500 for an MLS game for visiting fans. This isn't an MLS game. They don't have to hold 500.
They I don't want to say the number they gave us, but it's not big. And part one is this game is a part of their season ticket holder package. So, anybody that's got Sporting Kansas City season tickets, and they do sell well, they have a good turnout there. I don't know if it's completely sold out with season tickets, but so there are some they can't give away, and you'll be able to buy those on StubHub, hopefully, because there will be people selling them because they can't go to a midweek game. But our allotment was not big, and you know it's not a perfect situation, but we've tried our best.
We have more Luligans.
Yeah, we have, you know. If we had 500 tickets, we could get rid of 500 tickets. But we don't have 500 tickets.
My only advice to people who missed the boat is just
StubHub.
General admission, South Stand, make your own section.
South Stand is, and it's going to be close to where we are. I can't remember if we're in 123 or 124.
And that was one of the things, too, is that when we were at, when I went to the game there with Mike McHugh and Virginia McHugh, the Chicago Fire, they're in like this wedge corner, their fan section.
Mm-hmm.
And the South Stand is GA, and it's right next to that section.
Correct.
Right.
So if you get there early, it's GA, go stake out right next to that section. We can expand into the GA very easily.
And there will be a large number of us there because, like I said, we don't have enough tickets to cover the Luligans who've been at everything, you know. So there's going to be people to get left out.
Let's be honest. It's just three tickets. Yeah. Brad. Sorry, all.
Yeah, I wish. No, I don't wish.
No, you don't.
No, but if we only had three tickets, then it wouldn't be an issue. We'd all get tickets somewhere else. But we have enough, and we have to sell all of those because St. Louis FC worked their ass off to get the ones they could get for us. So we'll be sending out a message to people. You know, we tried our best to figure out, you know, the Luligans that have been very active, participated in a lot of things, you know, and we did the best we could.
It's a no-win. The only win that's going to come out of this is on the field.
Yeah, so please, if you don't get tickets in our section, please get tickets anywhere in the stadium.
I think it's going to be pretty empty. No,
I think, yeah, I think as closer we get to game time, the more you'll see on StubHub, the more you'll see on, you know,
Ticketmaster.
Look on Kansas City Craigslist, too.
Yep.
Because that's a really good place to pick up tickets.
So there will be tickets, and, you know, it's a close road trip. You know, it's not like we drew the Galaxy where it's, you know, half a country away.
That'll be the next game.
but
Nebraska Furniture Mart is right across the street. Take the wife shopping.
There we go. But we're going to have a big, big day out. We want you all to come, and we want to make some noise in the MLS stadium.
I cannot wait.
And I know a lot of our players are really excited because either this is the first time they've gotten to play at a stadium like this, or in the case of, like, Mike Ambersley, you know, it's a return to a big stadium for him that, you know, maybe he thought that part of his career was over. Now he gets to play another big game, so...
It's fantastic. Our boys, our team, are playing in an MLS stadium that we can all go to,
and we've got nothing to lose.
Absolutely not.
That's the, there was some guy giving a shit on Twitter from Kansas City about, you know, blah blah blah. Why are you so worried about a third division team?
Yeah,
he's like, we're going to embarrass you. I said, no, there's no way you can embarrass us.
Yeah.
If you win, you were supposed to win, but if we win, that'd be pretty damn embarrassing for you.
We've got almost as many Open Cup wins as we've got World Series wins. And so is Kansas City.
Oh! Yeah. You mean Don Dankinger is a soccer ref now?
Well, you know.
So, no, we're going to have a hell of a day out. Win or lose.
That's what it is. It's a day out. It's you can't.
We're on house money now, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
If we win this game, again, we're just rolling. If we lose this game, we still had a hell of a run, beat two good teams, and
enjoyed ourselves. Right. We had a day out,
and that's the thing. We beat two good teams. And it couldn't have come at a better time because we had kind of struggled a little bit beforehand. We hadn't been playing the best soccer that we should have been playing.
Yeah.
I'll argue with you. The only game we lost was Toronto.
Yeah, we did have a decent run.
We were playing
a bit crap. I mean, yes, the Wilmington game wasn't tic-tac.
It wasn't that we were losing. We just hadn't been playing what we needed to be playing.
What gets lost in it was the bye week, because before Wilmington we had the bye week and we played really well in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
true.
But I think the Toronto game was a big downer.
Yeah,
because that was a game we all thought we could.
Well, and
win
let's throw out the cliche: we scored too early. Yeah. I mean, it sounds, you know, like an excuse. But
we really scored too early.
But, yeah, you score in the first minute like that.
80 seconds, I think it was.
Something in the back of the mind of the players probably said, we got this.
Yeah.
And Toronto, to their credit, now I know Louisville turned around the next whatever, 2-3 days and really put a hurt on them. But Toronto has some talented players.
They are fast as hell.
I don't think they were very organized, but they beat us on individual skill.
Absolutely.
Be as fair and square, though.
And you know, that we gave up a free kick goal that was ridiculous. I mean, so, but fair play to them. They beat us, and we move on.
Yep. And so we moved on to.
So, yeah, let's talk about the league now. We're done with the Open Cup for the moment.
Let's talk about Louisville, the town.
We had a doubleheader, home and home.
I got to be honest, I was quite worried going into these two games.
I was too, yeah.
I think they are a very good team.
Yes.
I'm pleased that all the Coopers that made the trip, I had fun mingling with them guys. They're a good set of fans for the most part. And then we get gifted that first goal and it's game on.
Yeah.
You know, they were putting the pressure on and then all of a sudden we get gifted a goal and it's game on.
Yeah. And this was the night of torrential downpour. We were up. We made it through halftime.
Yeah, we was 1-1 at halftime, and then Ambo scored after an hour.
Right,
and that was a cracking goal.
Yeah, and he played his ass off that night too. And then the skies opened up, and I mean, when we say it rained, that doesn't do it justice. It came down.
I will argue that had that not happened, we'd have won the game.
I think so.
I think Louisville, James O'Connor, their coach, took them boys in its locker room and gave them one hell of a screaming at them.
And it was an hour delay. I mean, that's basically starting over.
Uh-huh.
You know, any warmth you had in your legs is gone. Any mojo or momentum or flow.
And your recovery, too. Is
right.
That you're already in shutdown mode.
Right. So, I mean, And I'm not making excuses. I mean, you know, we still had our chances. We still went up again and again.
Well, they came straight out and equalized, make it 2-2. Right. Here we go.
Right. And then we went up again.
Did you think it was a penalty?
From our vantage point, it's hard to tell. I mean, I've watched it on the stream since then. I don't really care.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. He gave it. I was great with it. But there was serious pressure on goal to stick it away. So he did the business.
Yeah. And then they came up and tied it again. You know, we can argue, you know, that we gave it away again. It was another...
Sloppy.
And they just didn't look awake, you know, when it happened. And, I mean, again, I'm not going to blame anything. These things happen in football.
They happen, but to an extent. When you see mental breakdowns that can happen time and time again, I'm not saying there's a pattern, but you're aware of it.
I think... See, the players after the game were all coming on Twitter saying, oh, you know, it wasn't the result we wanted, but we'll go again. We're sorry we've let you down. Blah. They battled, though. I mean, to get anything from that Louisville team, you have got
and
to
battle.
And,
I mean, again, it was an hour rain delay, and during that time, I mean, it poured, and the Louisville fans had to leave. I mean, you know, there were people giving them shit for leaving, but, I mean, their bus contract.
Yeah,
you know,
you have no choice.
Their driver had to leave.
A driver can drive 11 hours in a 14-hour window. That's the DOT law. So
they had to get out of town. Wish they could have stayed. One guy stayed. he had driven down, and he was wearing his Orlando City shirt. But
he actually
came over to the corner with us and stood right by Kyle.
It was actually, Brad, it was the first time I'd actually stood by you watching a game.
Yeah.
It was the first time. I was like... quite enjoy this.
Yeah. And I mean, some of the Louligans left. Some people were told.
No, they didn't know.
Some people were told the game was over, and I think it was because people were asking if the game ends now. Is it final?
Yeah.
And so that rumor was going around, or that word was going around. Yes, if the game ends right now, it's an official game. We won, and I think some people took that to mean the game's over.
No one really knew, did they?
About half the crowd left.
Yeah, and I was listening to the
broadcast.
And
some of them were the people that didn't want to sit in the rain, families and...
Fair enough.
You know, or had to go to work the next day or whatever. I mean...
Shit happens.
Right.
So when I was, again, I was in Wisconsin on this one, watching the game in my wife's uncle's kitchen and just get away from me, people. But I kept tweeting and texting as much as I could to you guys what they were saying on there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, okay, well, it's 30 minutes from the last lightning strike. You know, whatever it is. And it's like... I finally gave up after a while because I was like, nothing is happening. Nobody's saying anything.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch remotely.
Well, and I mean, we weren't answering our texts. I mean, there were literally a hundred of us under a 10x10 pop-up tent. And finally, I felt my pocket buzzing, and I reached down and pulled it out. And Jeremy had texted me like 10 times, you know, with updates. And, you know, the last one said, are you guys still here? I said, yeah, we're still here. Are we on? And he said, yeah, we're on. Come back. You know, so, I mean, it was another one of those. I mean, I would have rather had the win, but a 3-3 draw against a good team. And it was a nice fan bonding moment for those of us that stuck around through the rain, and the players were effusive with their praise, you know, thanks for sticking out in this rain, and thanks. I mean, when we came back, it was still raining.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's just
no lightning. I mean, so it was still raining on us, and we were all soaking wet. But I
still think it was a point earned. To be honest, they had to earn that point.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they could have earned three, but they still had to earn that one. They were in a game, but also Louisville left knowing they'd been in a game too.
Louisville had. I mean, watching the first half and in the first half of the second. They had their chances, but they had to work just as hard. Yeah. I mean, they were not getting off easy. There was no long ball to Fondi. There was crisscross action.
The thing that hurts us more than it being a draw is that it was a 3-3 draw. Because when we get to the final stages of the King's Cup, which we'll talk about, but the away goals or the goal difference, which is it first? The away goals comes into play. So they get three away goals. So that's going to be hard to overcome if the King's Cup ends in a tie, tiebreaker situation. So,
which we want it to?
Now we do because we followed up. We went to Louisville the next weekend.
And what a road trip, first off.
Mr. Bird missed that.
It looked superb. It looked like you guys just had a blast.
It was fantastic. One bus with a bathroom this time.
Yeah.
Which, as Brad said, we didn't feel like we needed to stop as often because people just peed.
Yeah, just knowing there was the bathroom there, I think, put... Mm-hmm. If there's no bathroom, people are like, I need to stop. I need to stop now. But, oh, I could go if I needed to. It's right there.
The bus was full of singing and chanting when we got about halfway there.
Yeah, we had some fun.
Came up with a Mike McGee chant to Biz Markie's Just a Friend.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of the game, is that Chicago Fire loaned us former MLS MVP Mike McGee, who's coming back from injury.
He just seemed to get what we were about straight away.
Immediately.
Yeah, on Twitter he was sending us messages, you know, asked if anybody needed tickets, asked if he wanted him to buy us beer. I mean, you know, good guy. And after the game he came over, shook hands, and then, you know, I thought it was an even classier move, as he was walking back towards the locker room, some Louisville fans yelled at him, mm-hmm. and they were Chicago Fire fans, Mike McGee fans, and he went over and spent some time with them. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, is used to the bigger stage, and he appreciated where he was, and he, you know, performed for the crowd. And it wasn't a great day, but he's coming back from injury. I mean, he looked good a couple times.
He had one opportunity.
Well, and he made a couple moves, a couple passes where it was like, oh, that wasn't anywhere near. But I was like, no, he's used to guys being there.
Yeah.
You know, like, so he had to adjust his game to play with players that aren't quite as talented. But good day all in all for Mike McGee.
I didn't watch the first half because I was at a family function. And then in the second half, I just thought, screw it. Got the iPad out, started watching. And I turned the iPad on just before they scored, you know, and the wind came out of my sails a bit, and yeah. I was like, oh.
Still not certain if he was onside.
I'm not either, but such is life.
It's a goal. And, but, I mean, I wasn't down at that point. I thought we're in this thing.
It was still an equal battle at that point in time. Yeah. I mean, you know, McGee did give us a little bit of a different play at that point
in
time.
And he did have one break on goal that you started to talk about earlier that I thought, oh, this would be storybook if McGee puts in a goal. But he didn't.
No. It ended up, was it wide, I think? I think that one was wide.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't either. But, it, you know, if it's a, if he scores.
He made a break on the ball, and we're like, ooh, this is it. You know. And
the one thing, so first half and second half, there was a consistency. And I've seen it on Twitter from both sides, so it's not just us saying our part. That field is shit.
The end that we were sitting on, the end of the Coopers,
the baseball diamond,
the home field area or home plate area.
It's the second base to third base.
It's where the turf is laid in over the
it's
dirt.
Carpet.
You know, and it you go from grass to carpet to grass to carpet there. Ball right there in the box.
We watched both sides.
Yeah, on corner kicks.
Hesitate, change the way they run, adjust their stride.
Force shots while they were still on the grass, where normally they would have taken another touch to put them in a better position, but they didn't want to be planting on that AstroTurf. And it's not so much that it's turf or it's grass. It's that it's both. I mean, when you're on our field, you wear your shoes, turf shoes. When you're on a natural grass field, you wear natural grass shoes. When you're on that field, the shoes react differently to the different surfaces. So, you know, if you're making a full stride and one step's on turf and one step's on grass, you know, it's just going to give you a little bit of unstableness. And we saw lots of falls there in the box.
In the first half, there was a great – Fondi had the ball on our side and made a cross to – I can't remember their other forward, who's unbelievable. The guy that had the goal.
Dacus,
yes, thank you. And – you saw him take off, knowing the ball was going to get a little bit longer. All he had to do was take two steps and open wide open goal. Feet came out right underneath him like he was on ice.
Yeah, again, this is not belly aching. This is not whining.
No. This is purely
it affected their players. Just as much, so.
If not more, to be honest with you, because they were attacking a little bit more.
Yeah, they were attacking that end. Yeah.
So I feel sorry for the players. I hope
Louisville gets a stadium, you know, better suited towards soccer. They deserve it. I mean,
absolutely.
They've sold a lot of tickets. They've done a good job in the city. The Coopers are doing a good job.
Did you see that Colorado pitch?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's something else altogether. Well, and I mean, there's a lot of pitches in this league that aren't up to snuff, and that's why USL has partnered with whatever that
HOK architecture
firm. You know, they want these teams to build soccer-specific stadiums. And we're not talking Livestrong Park. We're talking soccer park,
you know.
5,000 to 8,000 to 10,000 seats, you know, specifically designed for soccer, so you're not, you know,
proper drainage and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that's what we need at this level. And I mean, you see it in Montreal; they're playing like in a park outside of Saputo Stadium.
That's bizarre.
You know, yeah, it's just they've drugged some bleachers along the outside of the stadium. I mean, you look at the attendance numbers that came out this week; like their high is like 211 or something. You know, they're not playing the same game that Louisville is when they get 7,000 people, or that Sacramento is with 11,000 people. I mean, we were number five, and I looked at our low was like 3,000 something, and that was higher than the bottom half of the table's high.
Correct.
You know,
hell, it was higher than some of the bottom table's total season.
Oh yeah, exactly. So I mean, these are things that USL has to work through, and they will. But you know, again, different teams have different results in mind. Different objectives, different goals. I mean, God love Charlotte.
I was about to say, they've got three stadiums.
They've got three stadiums. They're
building a fourth.
The 13th, they're actually supposed to start at Ramblewood, which is their official temporary home. I mean, that's the thing. They've been waiting on their temporary home. You know what I mean?
It's mental.
So, I mean, I feel sorry for those fans.
It's mental.
And they have a right to bitch because
they were playing in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's 40 miles.
Yeah, playing in another state.
It's like us playing in
Alton. No.
Arkansas.
Lebanon.
Yeah,
Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and I know the Charlotte, they have the plan with Memorial Stadium for next year. It'll be ready. But it makes you think maybe they should have waited until next year to start, you know. But not my place.
But to be fair, on the field, they've been improving quite a lot. Yeah. I mean.
And the two teams we make fun of for playing in a baseball stadium, Louisville and Tulsa, are both doing better than us in attendance. Yeah. So, you know, maybe their baseball stadium isn't the greatest to play on, but they're getting fans out.
I think it gives the home team an advantage because they get to play in it a lot more. So they get to know how the
You know what?
Is.
I don't think so with Louisville especially because when they're not there, that's the bats' field, and they pull up that carpet. I think Louisville's practicing on other practice fields. I don't think they get to practice on Slugger's field that much.
I think the only thing that they get an advantage is the frequency, where we only play there twice, they play there four.
Right, right.
You know, but there is no real true advantage. There's a minor advantage, but not true.
If I went to Fondy and Dekus and all those guys for Louisville, I said, you know, take your pick. You want to keep this home field advantage at Slugger Park, or would you rather play on a soccer field? And they'd be like, oh, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So, and same with our guys. If I said, wave a magic wand, if this was perfect grass versus turf, they'd want perfect grass.
Absolutely.
But we all have compromises we have to make, and some are making more than others. The Colorado field, that was treacherous. That was dangerous.
Dangerous. That was flat out dangerous.
They should have stopped that game. I mean,
if it was my kids' team, I would have pulled them.
If I was the Arizona chairman,
yeah,
or the owner of the Arizona United, I'd have been furious. I'd have been absolutely furious.
Yeah.
You know, you cost me a fortune to fly here, and this is what we arrive at. I'd have been absolutely livid.
Yeah, and we can also talk about, unfortunately, the Austin Aztecs.
They're much better.
Because it's
underwater.
It's a natural disaster. I mean, it flooded in Austin, and their field was under up to 10 feet of water.
Yeah, it was above the goal.
Yeah, and it's going to come down. Luckily, their schedule.
Hopefully, that water will wash away the NFL lines.
Their schedule was such that they have a month off before their next home game anyway. But they're talking about they don't know if the field will be ready even in a month. And let's not gloss over the tragedy, people out of homes, people, you know, who are really suffering. I mean, soccer's...
Takes a back seat.
Right. But they may be looking for a temporary home to play in, too. So, yeah, lots of stadium issues around USL. So,
but the good thing is there are plans in place, like you said, the HOK deal.
Right.
You know, they recognize it. They're not making a big deal out of it. It's just, okay, deal with it and move forward.
And I think after a season like this, you know, a team like Tulsa or a team like Louisville can prove, you know, there's an attendance there.
And they can
use that as leverage to get a stadium built or get a place to play, and good for them because that helps us all.
Absolutely. No question.
Rising tide lifts all boats.
Yep. So we did draw 1-1 in Louisville. Get back to that.
I posted this on Facebook, but how awesome was it when he scored? Just run me through that minute.
So that was the point where we were starting to kind of get on edge a little bit.
Yeah.
You're looking at the clock. We're running out of time. We need a goal.
Guys are starting to get a little punchy out there. Where, you know, their
legs are getting tired.
They're...
Mitch and I are like, God, they got to pull him. His legs are dead. And they put Rankin in, and it was like, okay, let's see here.
Right after they put him in, he made a dash from basically the center line to just in front of the box, and the pass was just beyond his reach. It wasn't his fault, you know, but it was one of these things where it's like. Okay.
Well, and a couple times before that, he'd taken guys on one-on-one, which, you know, you and I both had talked about that. That's what he's known for. That's what his bread and butter was.
Well, he got the penalty against Minnesota.
Right. You know, so, every time he touched the ball, I just had a feeling he was going to make a move or he was going to do something. And when that ball came to him where he finally scored.
Who passed it to him? I missed who passed it to him.
Was it Maher? Or?
I thought it was, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I won't swear to that. Okay. But.
Because it's a blur at that point.
Yeah, but again, we talked about guys trying to get their shot off before they got to the turf, and I really think he did. I think he pulled it a little earlier than he wanted to.
Because he was still on the grass.
Yeah, and when he did, we were just kind of like, you know, that's going to be a close one, and when it went in, it was
pandemonium.
Crazy.
Pandemonium.
I mean, Mitch and I were standing behind Maggie, and Maggie was throwing her beer everywhere.
She jumped straight up in the air,
and the whole beer
did 16 ounces.
The whole beer came out like in slow motion and just umbrellaed over everyone,
and nobody cared because it was just pure.
I mean, Costin was in rare form that day, dancing, singing.
You know, let's mention that while we got it. Kudos to James Costin. We didn't have any of our normal capos on the trip, so, you know, he was the guy that said...
We were talking about, you know, who's going to do it, and...
And it was like, you got to work with the drummers, because our drummers, I'm going to say this right now, and I dare you to challenge me, our drummers are the best in the league. I don't think there's a single challenge there. We have professional musicians.
Yeah.
We have guys that play the
and
hearts
by
out.
By professional musicians, I don't mean like New York City FC where we hired them to come play for us.
The gigging musicians.
Yes.
These guys bust their ass every single game, leave it all on the drum head, literally.
Yeah. And Costin just went out there
and he
went full diva.
He was interpretive dancing.
He was dancing. He was singing,
and but you know what?
We only had 50 to 60 people there, but we were loud.
Yeah, and that was the great thing is that I went back to get a beer soda at one point because I was like, you know what? I'm not even having beer because I want to enjoy this so much at this point in time. Yeah. I could hear us over the Coopers, and. I thought that said a lot, and a big part of it is the drums. I mean, there's no question. The drums bring so much.
The thing about their drum, beautiful. I love that.
So good looking.
I love that it incorporates the barrel.
Seeing it in person.
It's not set up for sound.
No.
It goes all the way to the ground.
And the ground muffles it.
And the ground muffles it. Mm-hmm. You know,
you have to port it out.
They need to port it, and you know, having ours up on the stands on the sides, you know.
The boom.
Yeah, so they need to. That's a good-looking drum. Keep that drum. You know, you should get another drum. Yeah,
their mayor was there playing the drum.
Yeah,
with them,
the mayor of Louisville came into their section
was
and
was playing drum with them,
banging the drum. And you know, we had a couple back and forths, mostly in good fun. I mean, as you know, there's always one or two idiots. I mean, we've got our own, so I'm not blaming them. But no, it was a good time with the Coopers.
We did holler at them for stealing one of our chants. That was pretty good. A lot of good back and forth between the two sides.
And after the game, when we were walking out, I mean. Literally everyone I walked by was clapping, thanking us for coming.
Handshakes, hugs, high
fives. That's how it should be.
And that's the way it should be.
But it's a lot better to leave with the result than
with points.
After Rankin scored, I mean, for a few minutes I was like, okay, we can actually do this.
I thought that too.
It quickly turned into let's just hang on And and as Mitch and I were, you know, Mitch kept telling me to shut up because I said, I think we can pull this out. And
I'm
Mitch
like,
would be
quit
like, shut up.
Jinxing it.
And at a certain point.
Right at the end, though.
Brian Cizelka.
He saved our ass.
Man of the match for that
save.
Post,
hit his head, hit whatever.
And we couldn't see it because it was at the opposite end. Mm-hmm. We just saw a flurry in front of goal. And, we're grabbing each other, and we're like, is it in? Is it in? Is it out?
How it didn't go in, I
and then
no idea.
Finally we saw that ball pop out and come over, and we're like, and right about that time, I turned around.
50 buttholes unclenched.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, the collective whoo you heard was air releasing from our sphincters. But I turned around, or Mitch turned around about that time, and we noticed a very, very stern.
Loud.
Concerned, just really into it fan.
Shaved head. Tall, thin.
And
wearing a STLFC polo shirt.
And lo and behold, our GM was standing up there pacing, you know, two or three rows behind us. And when that whistle blew,
he was the first one to the railing.
I'm crippled, so you can't count me, but Mitch was and I were like three rows away from the front row. And Jeremy flew past us and was down
seven
there
rows back,
screaming, hugging Kyle. I mean, right in the middle of the celebration. It was a great moment.
Kiss my ass, MLS. You won't get that like we
do. Yeah,
no,
I mean,
exactly.
That right there.
And I think the last 2 weeks since Garb has arrived, we've had the moments that we've had, and people are slowly
because if you've been to the last couple of home games, Open Cup and Louisville, I think you've experienced some really good moments. And the next we've got this weekend is away at Pittsburgh. We're having a big showing at Ballpark Village. I want people to come out and have a good time. They're showing it on the giant screen at Ballpark Village at noon.
That are they?
Yes.
Okay.
And then they're switching.
Start it late.
What?
Make it a joke from the World Cup.
Pittsburgh moved their game up a little further.
Yes, they did.
To get it in before the Champions League final because the
you're never ever ever
the Steel Army
to watch the game.
The Steel Army complained saying, "Hey, you know, what are you doing here? It's the Champions League final. We're soccer fans."
I don't understand why they had it in the afternoon to begin with anyway.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that.
Conflicting event.
There was a conflicting event in Pittsburgh that night. But anyway, we're going to watch the USL game on the big screen at Ballpark Village, and then right after that, they're going to play the Champions League between Juventus and Barcelona on the big screen. So if you got no plans this weekend, come out at noon to Ballpark Village. And I know we dog on Ballpark Village, but the team's put this together, and we want to go out and have some fun and hopefully get some new fans for St. Louis
It'll
FC.
It'll be good to watch them on that big-ass TV.
I was actually talking to Brian Roth about it. And he said, "Are you going to Ballpark Village now, you two-faced prick?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "It was really good, the World Cup ones, you know." And I'm like, I spoke to Dave Corbett's nephew about it, Aaron Eversall.
Yeah.
And he said, "It was the World Cup parties down there were great." He said, "The only issue was..."
The game ended?
he didn't know anyone else. He said, "At the Amsterdam, I know people. Yeah. At Barristers, I know people." He said, if we all went en masse...
Right.
We'd know people, it would have been, it will be great.
And here's the thing. I mean, the team is also doing things with Ballpark Village for the Women's World Cup. Mm-hmm. And I said right out, well, look, our priority during USA games, whether it's men's or women's, especially World Cup, is with American Outlaws St. Louis. And their events are at Amsterdam. Now, for the Men's World Cup, we got a little crowded, so the overflow went to ITAP. Mm-hmm. That's our partner bar, but... You know, this is a special one-time thing where they want to do a big event at Ballpark Village. Yeah, we'll support that. We'll do that. But for the women's national team games, I just told, you know, Patrick and the other guys that were putting it together. Sorry, we'll tell people that you're there, but we'll be at Amsterdam with American Outlaws.
Correct.
We owe that to them because they support us, and we are outlaws. I mean, all three of us are paid members of American Outlaws.
We also owe it to Lyle, I think. Lyle, who opens at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to show a friendly against Scotland.
Or at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning. It's the teams that maybe only two people in the whole city care about.
Burnley,
right.
Burnley v. Leicester, you know, so...
He's done a lot to build soccer
culture.
Well,
to be fair, if it's a Leicester game, it's probably some Asian porn.
Lyle has done a lot. Lyle has done a lot to build soccer culture in this city. He's given a lot of his own time, and And it, you know, it can't make money for him to open up at, like I said, 6 a.m. or one in an afternoon where most people are at work. He gets three or four guys in there drinking beer, and he's got paying two employees to sit there. So yeah, we do owe it to him to support them.
You can't like disavow him when the big events come along,
right?
But this Saturday's a special occasion. It's the Champions League, and we're playing Pittsburgh, so.
And we want to create some new fans. They're going to have the players that don't make the trip to Pittsburgh are going to be there.
We're an attraction.
The Luligans are listed as right under St. Louis FC players, see Luligans. And we have discussed it. Matt Bird will sign autographs. I mean, there'll be a charge.
Well, of course.
But he will sign autographs. And if you ask nice, he'll talk in his sexy voice. Maybe he'll leave a voicemail message for you.
Oh, that's what we should do. We should start
like NPR
scheduling him out.
Win Matt Bird on your voicemail answering system. They're gonna have giveaways. They're gonna give tickets away. They're gonna give a jersey away for predicting the score of the Champions League, which Malia already says it's hers because she's predicted every score in the last month.
We've got to talk about Mike McGee giving his shirt to Mike.
Oh, yeah, that was the other big highlight
of
Louisville.
That was really nice. But I'm glad. I don't think Mike should auction it off.
No.
Oh, no, there's no – no, that was not even an option.
Malia can't afford it.
That's true. No, Jeremy had mentioned something to me and Mitch a couple days before. And
it was great because we get on the bus, and Mike had texted me when I was in Chicago and said, hey, I'm at Ross and Sunset Hills. They've got a Newcastle jersey. You want it? I said, oh, you know, what sizes are they? And they weren't the right sizes for me or Jack. So it's like, I think I'll pass. So we get to the bus Saturday morning. He's like, hey, I got you something. I got you those jerseys. Jack can grow into the one. You can hang the other one. If you lose a lot of weight, you could wear it, whatever the case may be. But for everything you do, I wanted to get you it. You know, I was like, dude, no, I'll get you money. Don't, you know. No. I tell you what, there's a chance of me getting that Mike McGee jersey. You know,
yeah.
He's like laughing and thinking. You know, I said, I'll see what I can do, laughing it off.
Yeah,
trying to play as dumb as I can because knowing that this is going to happen.
The day Jeremy told me if I can make this happen, you know, McHugh, I want to give it to McHugh. I'm like, oh yeah, he's the biggest Chicago Fire fan we have, and yeah, that'd be great. And that evening, Mike like texted me. He goes, I told Gigi, I'll buy that jersey from her. Just let me know how much. And she told him it wasn't for sale, and she couldn't do that. And, you know, so as we were walking out of the stadium on the march, Jeremy popped up in the concourse, and he said, hey, Mike, come here. And we pulled him over, and he's like, yeah, what? I'm like, hey, go with Jeremy. Why? Well, and then Mitch is trying to wrangle everybody to get him out to the bus because we had to get on the bus. We had to get out of there. Everybody's like, well, we want to go with Mike. No, Mike's the only one going down there. Everyone else
Virginia, you stay here. Yeah.
Where's Mike going? Don't worry about where Mike's going. You go down there. And, you know, then he got back on the bus, held up the jersey. And I mean,
it was great because he just steps onto the bus, doesn't even say a word, holds it straight up.
Yeah.
And the bus just erupted.
Yeah. So that was a great moment. And McGee told him when he signed it, he goes, you know, this is the first time I've ever signed Mike McGee 99. I mean, it's the only time he's worn number 99.
See, it's a one-off. It's a one-off.
It is. Totally unique, special. Yeah. So.
No, that was a great month. But again, you ain't going to get this shit in MLS.
Yeah.
You're only going to get this with these kind of guys.
And I'll also say, you know, Mike's one of those guys that he's new to the group, but he's working hard. He's contributed. He's, you know what I mean? It's like we have people in the group, and I feel terrible that I don't know everybody's name.
But you're going to get that.
But
you're gonna get that.
But now,
who the hell are you?
Yeah, I've been asked who the hell I am several times. But Mike, you know, has shown up. He's volunteered for things we've offered or we've asked, and so when the opportunity came up, we said Mike's the obvious choice to get that jersey.
How can you not reward somebody that's putting in the effort?
You know, had it been Brad Davis, I would have demanded the jersey or beaten his corpse to get it. but no, I mean, you know, it makes sense. That's, you reward those who give of themselves, you know, I mean.
When are we getting rewarded?
We get rewarded every day. It's the satisfaction
with
of it.
Questions of how to get them tickets for Kansas City.
Yeah, we do get.
I'm just checking my phone now. Is the link up?
Shut up, Bird.
The link will come. But yeah, I mean, you know, we try to do our best. And just to, you know, we don't have a lot left to talk about a couple things, but I do want to say, you know, we get some crazy emails. We get some, you know, rude messages. when things like this come up, or when the national, international teams come into play and people are wanting pre-sale codes, and it's mm-hmm. like,
hey, Brad, I want four tickets.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not even, can you get me access to them? It's, they want free tickets. They want, you know, one guy wanted 12 tickets to this Sporting Kansas City game. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. You know, it wasn't even, and he's like, well, I've been to a couple of games, you know, what do you mean?
You're also not the gatekeeper. I mean, you still.
But I mean,
people can buy their own tickets.
Yeah, and it, just they expect, you know, I don't know if they think I have a pocket full of, you know, tickets that I'm just handing out for free, or what the deal is. But
make it rain.
All we were trying to do was just get our own little section. I mean, yeah. We're not. You still got to buy your own tickets. Not, there's no free ride.
Right. I mean, well, and I mean, if Jeremy came to me and said, we've got 500 tickets, then yes, we would be saying, you know, okay, let me put you down for two or whatever. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case this time. And we do our best. We're not perfect. We'll make mistakes. But, you know, be aware when you send a stranger a message asking for 12 tickets, what do you really expect?
Yeah.
And so when you get mad when I say no, at that point it's not on me. You know, that's on you.
But again, if you're asking for 12 tickets, you're probably not in the conscious frame of mind.
Right.
So
I mean, this allotment, just so you know, my son, who's been to 3 or 4 games with us now, he said I'd really like to go to that game. I told him no. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm one season ticket holder. I'm only entitled to one ticket. And yes, I'm sure I could have begged, borrowed, and stealed and tried to switch tickets with someone or get him one, but it's not fair. He's not contributing to the group.
My brother-in-law lives in Columbia High.
Yeah.
Dude, buy your own ticket, South Stand.
Yep.
So, you know, if I'm not taking an extra one for myself, you know, use that as a guide for you.
Now, that being said, if you want to be a person that can be on these lists, you do two things. You buy a season ticket, you show up.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. You know, the team has been unbelievable with how they've treated us since day one. Pint glasses, our own special scarf.
Speaking of the scarves, if you signed up at the annual general meeting before the season started, I have your scarf. The team gave us special season ticket holder scarves for St. Luligans. We're going to hold those for a couple games. If you don't pick those up, we're going to end up giving those to other season ticket holders who have come in the meantime but didn't sign up before, because they're there and they're making noise in the corner and they deserve it. So
pint glasses and bus rides, bus trips to Louisville.
The open bar. MLS Cup final day. Remember that?
Yeah.
We drank a lot of liquor. And the food was good on that
bus to Indy.
Yes. Yeah, they've done so much for us.
Things that are offered to season ticket holders who participate.
And show up.
Show up, yeah.
That's what it comes down to. So, at the end of the day, you want to get ahead in this world, it's on your shoulders, not Brad's, because he's a cripple.
I am a cripple.
I know. So, I'm just happy I'm not the cripple.
So, honestly, I am sorry we don't have 500 tickets, because I would love to have nothing more than a whole huge section.
It seems to me that Kansas City,
they're dicking us around.
Spite the face,
oh, they
know?
Completely are. And I think for no other reason, just because they can.
Yeah.
Because that's really, because I don't think they're worried about us.
But it's in their best interest to spread us out.
Well, I mean, Ryan raised a good point, too, Ryan Malshak, that there is a Sporting St. Louis youth soccer club.
Yeah, but they're not that big.
But I wonder how many tickets they got.
I'll find out.
You know, I mean,
I know some coaches.
But how many of those soccer moms and dads and Aiden, Braden, Caden, and Aidens are going to go to
A lot of those soccer moms are stay-at-home moms, and they have lots of money, and they can do that. So, I don't know.
On a Tuesday night.
Wait. Stay-at-home moms and they have lots of money. Meanwhile, Matt Bird sits on the couch, the stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
Bought my tickets.
So, I don't know. Who knows what really happened there? I wish I could get everyone tickets, but like we said,
here's the thing: everyone can get tickets.
Yeah.
StubHub.
But we were trying to engineer our own section, and we've got limited tickets together.
We got less than half the tickets we asked for, so.
You know, no one's stopping you getting a ticket. Go to the game. I encourage you to come to the game. Please come. We're going to need all the support we can get. If you don't get one of these, then jump on Ticketmaster and go to Kansas City and South Stand General Admission. Stand by us.
Yep.
You know, I might not get a ticket. I might have to stand down there. I mean, I don't know, but I am going to go to the game. Nobody's stopping you going to the game.
And honestly, at this point, there might be more fans in that South Absolutely. Stand than there are in our official section.
And you know what? That just proves
I hope
even
so.
More.
Yeah, I hope so. Here's the other thing. If you can't get tickets to this Kansas City game, and maybe that's because you can't take off work during the week or whatever, I really encourage you to get tickets to the next home game.
Absolutely.
Which will be...
Good transition.
Well, June 13th.
Harrisburg City Islanders.
And some... PK had a thread on his page about he had a bunch of friends asking him,
yeah.
Can you get tickets to this Sporting Kansas City game? I said, you know what? Honestly, our home games are probably going to be more fun than the Kansas City game.
Oh, they absolutely are.
It's more intimate. It's, you know, you're literally right there.
Better beer selection.
Better beer selection. The players come right to you after the game. And we've had some great matches lately. And if you're missing out on these games, again, we say it all the time, be careful what you wish for.
Absolutely.
Enjoy this while we have it, because we've got a great situation out at Soccer Park. So please come out to a home game. If you're excited at all about this Kansas City trip, and we all are, don't stop there. Come to the next home game. Get ready for it.
The next home game, as I say, the next game is against Pittsburgh, who scored 5. And then the game after that is Harrisburg, who last scored 6.
Six, yeah. Yes.
Oh,
six,
yeah.
These, 6-5,
against each other, yes.
Yeah.
These won't be easy games. And
but listen, we know they can't defend. Did you see in USL in the team of the week, they had a Pittsburgh Riverhound?
Yeah, I didn't.
Defender?
They said he scored a goal, and, you know, then...
He shipped 5 goals.
Exactly.
He's still -4.
Yeah, they need to revise that, how they vote for team of the week, I think. But anyway.
They might as well put a dead player on as the player of the week.
Put a bit of lard in the team of the week. Bro.
But so, yeah, come out to the home games. Come out to Ballpark Village this Saturday. Then the following...
Just gonna pimp out Dave Corbett and Ryan. They're going to go over to Pitchers because they've got a gig in Belleville that afternoon.
If you're on the east side.
If you're on the east side, go to Pitchers and chill out with those two and go to their gig afterwards.
Yeah, it's right there on that street in Belleville. They're playing some...
The paved one?
Yeah.
No.
But the same street as Pitchers, I think. It's right down the street from there.
I think so, yeah.
Couple other things we do want to
mention.
Go
see the Rat Rod Kings.
Yeah, the Rat Rod Kings are a great band, and I'm hopefully we're going to figure out a way to get them to play at a tailgate party some point. Because good band, good fun. Do want to mention a couple of things on from Jeremy we've got coming up. June 22nd, there's going to be a soccer trivia at Soccer Park. And I forget the name of the organization this benefits, but it's a soccer-related charity.
My Pocket.
No, it does not go to Mitch's pocket. But we do want to get a couple of tables for that are Luligan tables. But also, if you're listening and you just want to put together a group of friends and do it, more information will be coming. But pencil June 22nd in on your calendar. And I believe we'll be doing a podcast live from the event.
Well, recording it live.
Recording
we won't
it live.
Be streaming
yes.
it live.
Live to tape. Or live to hard drive.
We should do the podcast as we do the trivia questions. So it'd be just me and Brad going, was that Cuba in 1953? Or was that game in Havana?
The other event Jeremy wanted me to mention was June 28th. They're going to do another foot golf event. They did this preseason before this season started. It's somewhere over on the east side. They've got the foot golf.
I think I want to do those. It looks like a blast.
I can't.
You're a cripple.
I have a leg that does not move when I tell it to.
It's not your kicking leg.
It is, actually.
No, it is?
Yes.
You were right-footed.
I am. It's my right leg that's got the issue.
Oh, I can't tell. You keep changing.
No, I'm fine when I sit down. When I walk, it's a big old
Grandma has busted
I'm telling you, I've got some horrible disease, and you're going to feel terrible when I die, like a year from now.
Not getting a scarf.
I expect a TIFO at least.
Just amputate.
I might have to. June 28th is going to be that foot golf event. So, and I, and more details will come out from the team about those 2 days, but pencil them in. And I think that's all. Tons of soccer coming up, whether it's at Ballpark Village or it's at Kansas City or it's at Soccer Park.
You know, the Women's World Cup.
Women's World Cup. We didn't even talk about that tonight. We've got Andy and Gisa and a couple other people, Malia maybe.
Sam and Malia, and I think Ryan and Kavita are going. Everyone's going.
Yeah, everybody's going to the Women's World Cup except for us.
Well, it's up in Canada, so
it is
nice
in Canada. But that's awesome. I mean, a great thing. The last couple nights of watching TV, I've seen our U.S. Women's National Team people on commercials.
I know, right? Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, you know, chapstick and sunscreen and whatever. I mean, it's great. They're getting their moment in the sun, and hopefully they get another star for the crest.
Lions have been playing a few games here.
Lions, yeah. It's, I mean,
a handful of the guys went to the home opener.
And yeah, and
so Jacob Cosley out there.
Yep.
Yeah, he's back. Fire and Ice is getting ready to start up.
Yep. Their home opener got moved due to weather.
Right. There's so much soccer. I mean, we literally don't have time to go to it all.
And speak, you know who somebody who does have time to go to it all?
Who?
Sepp Blatter.
Sepp Blatter.
We would be remiss.
He can afford to go to it all.
Oh, yeah, he's still got.
Well, he can't go in the United States, I can tell you that.
I told somebody they've got to hire a replacement before he leaves, because who's going to pick up all those bags of cash that keep getting dropped off at FIFA's front door?
Who's going to boo now?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll find somebody.
Yeah, whoever they elect is going to be just as crooked.
It was coming.
It was.
It was coming.
And you know what?
But it was funny, though. A week ago, he was defiant. He was standing there. I won the election. You'll never get rid of me. And then a week later, I'll be seeing you.
I remember Margaret Thatcher doing the same thing. Yeah. I mean, once a couple of the inner circles start sharpening the knives,
yeah,
that's it.
Well, and all the memes coming out were great. I mean, the picture of him and then the picture of Nixon, you know. And
him walking up the stage and somebody red carding him.
Yeah, I mean, all of it, you know.
But when you've got a bad team, changing the manager doesn't work. They're still a bad team. And it's same with FIFA. The root and branch, they need a clean sweep.
Yeah,
well, the good thing is that a lot of those guys are in handcuffs right now.
And it's
so
not
it's
done.
A start.
There will be more. And, you know, it's going to take a while, like you said, to clean it up. But mm-hmm. I think...
And Blatter's not out until probably December.
Really. This is a big first step. This is a ceremonial, if nothing else, announcement to the world that, you know,
you're on watch,
and the way the world celebrated, I mean it wasn't like a 50-50, well, you know.
Oh no, it's the Ewoks playing the Stormtrooper helmets.
I didn't
helmets.
See any statements other than maybe from Russia that
you know, I careful what you wish for, because you don't know who's going to replace him, but
it can't be any worse.
Hope springs eternal. I mean, he was the president of FIFA in their most corrupt.
Most successful and most corrupt.
Well, that's what I'm going to come on to next. The last English guy to run FIFA was Stanley Rouse, who was a racist bigot. He was pro-apartheid. He didn't do anything for the African game. He didn't do anything for the women's game. There was no Youth World Cups like you're seeing now.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything for the women, like Sepp.
Even if Sepp did it just to line his pockets... He did spread the soccer around.
And, you know, so the rest of the world is very wary of the white upper class Anglo-Saxon coming and saying, we'll run the game, because they've done that before.
Well, and let's be honest, if it's Platini, he's not squeaky clean.
He's the guy that made it happen.
You know, that's the UEFA guy that...
He's the guy that made Qatar happen.
Yeah, he did. And, I mean, he had orders from the president of France because, I mean, deals were made. I mean...
But if you look at if you look at Chuck Blazer's guilty plea that was splashed online...
Oh, my God.
France was corrupt.
Yeah.
You know, Japan and Korea was all corrupt.
Oh,
I mean...
Sunil Gulati is not going to escape. We played ball. You had
so
to
did,
play ball.
So did
everybody.
Everyone had to play ball. The English FA. Had
I mean,
to
they
play
they
ball.
Were talking about you can't have anybody that voted for Qatar. I'm like, hey, a lot of people voted for Qatar just for expedience or to protect yourself for the next round of voting that came around. I mean, deals were cut.
But I
mean, Sunil Gulati has voted for Platini the last or for bladder, the cup last
because
couple
you had
of.
To.
You don't want to be on the wrong side of history.
Because as soon as you don't vote for him,
right.
you start losing all your gold cups.
Yep. Right.
You start losing all your...
And then the gold cups are going to come up more and more. We're going to find out exactly...
I think so.
Where those payments went.
And you know...
Oh, they had a swoosh on them.
When I,
there's no question.
When I made the point that, you know, now that the rights and the briberies and everything in CONCACAF has been exposed by the FBI, will we see the Gold Cup getting passed around a lot? Someone said, well, no, because they make too much money having them in the US. Well, if they're going to make money having the World Cup in Qatar, they made money, you know, with the bribes. If you want it to be about the money, that's ridiculous.
Right.
It's got to be about the good of the game. And I think the good of the game in CONCACAF is spreading the Gold Cup around, not keeping it in the U.S.
Well, and we should also talk about, does it need to be every 2 years? You know, I think we could do every 4 years like they do the European Championships or like they do the African Cup of Nations. And
we don't, the U.S. doesn't need to do it every 2 years.
Yeah.
But Antigua and Barbuda need to do it every
4 years. That's true.
You know. And it's why the African Cup of Nations is every 2 years. I suspect Egypt has a fair shot at getting the World Cup, but Guinea-Bissau or, you know, Equatorial Guinea has no
They
chance.
Need that payday every 2 years.
Yes. Yep. But it's time for the Gold Cup to be spread around. And
well, and that's the thing. I think we're going to start seeing some major changes. Not everybody will be happy, but it's time for things to start little by little riding the ship.
But at the end of the day, though, it is a big bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. It's
the second most powerful man in the world.
No matter how much you clean it up, there's still going to be dirt there. There's still going to be, you know, whenever people are holding that much power, there's going to be money passed around and there's going to be money taken. I think it's a good step to get rid of Blatter for him to resign. You know, somebody said, thank God he did it for the good of the game. He didn't do it for
there
the good of the game.
There has to be consequences.
There's handcuffs waiting for him.
Well, yeah. I mean, he got out while the getting was good, and it still may come back to bite his ass.
This is the mafia.
But I don't think Blatter was on the take. I think he earned enough money to not be on the take.
He looked the other way.
It was
when,
the people
yeah.
surrounded him, the Teixeiras, the Bin Hammams, the Jack Warners.
He may not have been on the take.
He
now.
Orchestrated some of the take, though.
I think you're right.
He put people in the room together. He knew what was going on.
He got there by being on the take. Let's not. I mean,
but I mean, did anybody think Qatar was anything other than bought and paid for?
No.
Nobody thought that was a good idea. I mean,
but as I say, it also now turns out that every other World Cup has been bought and paid
for. Of course. And I said at the time when they awarded it to Qatar, I said, well, we knew the game.
Yep.
If we wanted it, we needed to outbid Qatar.
Yep.
Now, that's a cynical take, and that's awful. But
it was fact.
But that's everybody knew that's how the FIFA game is played.
But I will also say that there are... I stand back. As an Englishman, I kind of sit back and watch the melee happening on Twitter and Facebook here, and I see that there's a lot of Americans think, well, we're going to get the World Cup now. Geopolitically, they can't take the World Cup out away from an Arabian country and give it to the U.S. I mean, that would be... I mean, they hate us enough as it is.
The best that could happen is they do a re-vote for it or a rebid process, and then it's got to go to somebody like Australia or
Canada. See, I
don't
even think they can do that because it's the same thing. What they're going to... The idea that I'd heard, and I completely think this is the way, is that you end up splitting it. That you have the qualifying during the summer somewhere else and give them the championship rounds.
I don't know.
Because it's a no-win situation. The only way that you can make
With the U.S. getting a World Cup, you two have had a World Cup in your lifetime.
Yeah,
your country.
I really don't think we
won't get it for a while.
I don't think we should.
As an Englishman, I've never had the World Cup in my lifetime in my own country.
Well, and like I said, I mean,
and there's a lot of countries out there that have never had it either. And for Americans to sit here and say, "Well, we deserve a World Cup," well,
no,
you had one.
No,
21
I mean,
years.
We're prepared. We could, and that's. I mean, we're always sort of that fallback position, like a Germany, like an England. You
Spain,
know,
Italy.
Yeah, tomorrow you could host a World Cup if you had to.
But the problem is we can't, actually, because all the stadiums that we refer to that are 80,000-seat stadiums, like the Big House in Michigan, you know, Sun Devil Stadium, they don't have seat backs. And FIFA requires seat backs now because of the whole grandstand thing.
Okay, but beyond all that, I agree with you. You know, we had one in 94. You know, we're you know, 25, 30 years later now. Well, maybe 40. I don't
21.
Know. Okay. So I can't do math. But, I mean, that's really quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. I mean, if FIFA, the one thing I did like about FIFA is they were doing this new thing of moving it around.
The rotation around the...
Move it to South Africa. There's never been one in the African continent. And we know...
And it was South Asia.
They did one in Asia. And I applaud the idea of trying to do it in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Qatar was not the best choice. I mean, it was complicated wherever you're going to put it there. But I think Australia is due, or somewhere in Oceania.
They've got to have 26.
You could do New Zealand, Australia in a combined. I know they don't like to do combined anymore, but
the time zones are
A bitch.
But also playing football in the desert's a bitch.
Yeah.
But you can't just have them in temperate countries right. on Greenwich Mean Time.
Or if you do want to bring it back to North America, Mexico and U.S. have already hosted one. Let Canada do it, mm-hmm. and they can do it. I mean, they're doing the Women's World Cup right now.
The West Indies had a Cricket World Cup a couple of years ago, and I think they could host a Gold Cup.
Yeah.
I really think a couple of countries in the Caribbean
could host a
Gold Cup.
I'm not one of these people who are celebrating. I mean, you've seen it on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, we're getting the World Cup. It's like, no, relax. No,
we
I mean,
took down FIFA. We did.
That's enough. That's reward in and of itself. And a lot of countries around the world are thanking us, which is odd. They're happy the American, you know, stepped in and did something. But don't. The bigger picture is we got rid of Blatter and we're trying to clean up the game. That's the mm-hmm. big picture. Don't worry about the World Cup. If we get a World Cup, fine. But I'm with you. I don't think we deserve it at this point.
We also get a lot. We get a lot of international football here. I mean, every summer we have either the Gold Cup or international friendlies, or you know, we have.
I do want to clarify, if they said we were getting the World Cup, no one would be happier than me. And I'd be planning my vacation already.
The other part is, too, is that now it's a global market to where, you know, I mean, Ryan went to Brazil last year.
Yeah.
How many Americans would have gone to Brazil before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
None.
It's changed, yeah.
You know, unless Carnival. But
yeah.
But that's the thing, is that, you know, suddenly, you know, Russia, it's like, well, you know what, I could maybe think about going to Russia. I wouldn't have been able to go to Russia before. I wouldn't have thought about Russia.
That's the other thing. They do have to plan on a destination World Cup for traveling. Mm-hmm. I think Russia is going to be a tough sell.
I think for them to be in UEFA, they have to play all their games in the UEFA side of the Urals. Yeah. They can't start having World Cup games in Vladivostok.
Right.
I mean, it's going to have to be on the western side of the country. But I also think that the World Cup in the U.S. in 94, I looked at the teams traveling. I mean, there was some serious travel going on.
Oh, yeah.
And they were playing in Dallas and Florida in the summer.
Yeah, those games weren't pretty. I mean. Yeah.
And that's Qatar-like.
You know,
so there's complications no matter where you hold it, but you can't go back to Europe this quickly.
No.
You know, we can't go back to Africa this quickly, even if it's at Egypt, which is practically, you know, a continent away.
But it's also on ISIS's.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's another big African country that could maybe hold that size tournament. We're not ready to go back to the Far East. I mean, South Korea just had it. I mean, it's been a few years now, but.
But as I say, that the time zone out there is so bad for the major markets. Yeah. And I say that.
Well, if Qatar can move it to the winter, why can't Australia play theirs at midnight?
every World Cup in Australia is a winter World Cup.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
But there's only been one. The Brazil World Cup was the only World Cup in South America since 1978.
Right.
I mean, they were long overdue.
Yeah.
I appreciate the whole rotation around the world thing worked okay. But when you do get to CONCACAF, you've only got three realistic.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, but and I also wouldn't be opposed to if they put it on a schedule and they said, okay, this 4-year period goes to Europe. The next 4-year period goes to Africa. The next 4-year period goes to Oceania. The next 4-year period goes to, you know, whatever organization, CONCACAF or UEFA or whatever. And then you say, okay, now UEFA, you're holding it during this time period. Now all of your nations get to decide who's going to host, best host it. Mm-hmm. But again, that leads to money. And, you know, Luxembourg, you're going to vote for Germany, and here's a, you know, Newcastle or a jet or whatever,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Too many problems to solve for one night, but I think we're all in agreement that we're happy that Blatter's gone.
It's a step in the right direction. Yeah. But the clean sweep all the way around.
Yeah.
America.
And America did it.
I find it funny. That, you know, the country that everybody hates soccer.
Yeah.
Well, but you say that, but, I mean, there was the thing on the BBC about America is a soccer country now.
Oh,
And we've just reeled off all the soccer we can watch in the next month.
I do want to raise another point. Tom Timmerman was at the Minnesota United game.
Oh, what an article.
And he came up to me at the tailgate. He told me, you know, I'm going to be there. I'll be wearing the straw hat. And I recognized him. And I went over and talked to him for 15, 20 minutes. He goes, okay, well, you know, can I meet one of your capos? And I pulled Liz and Jason over and talked to them for a while. And then he came to the game and he kind of stood off to the side. He wasn't up in our stand, but watching and, you know, having a good time. And I came down at halftime and he said, well, I'd like to meet one of your drummers. So I introduced him to Dave and talked to Dave for a long time. And, you know, he was out on the field afterward. I mean, perfect game for him to be at, you know, big atmosphere. We win, we storm the field. And, you know, it was a really nice of him to come out and cover us, and the perfect game for him to do so. And a really good article.
I'm glad they're getting real recognition in the media. I'm glad the club is getting real recognition. And I think there was a lot of people beforehand who were very ambivalent about the team, who are now kind of looking at from the outside in, looking at going, oh.
Yeah, the guys are on Fox 2.
Yeah, the players are doing more TV spots. Ago. They're on some station. They're going to be on Friday morning. They were out at the park interviewing today.
Yeah, I mean, see, these things weren't happening before.
Alton Telegraph
has been doing interviewed in the corridor before the season started.
Yeah, right,
you know, and now they're sitting down with the host.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good work on Tom Timmerman. Is it Joe Lyons?
Yes.
He's been writing most of the game reports. The Alton Telegraph's been doing stuff. Last Word on Sports and Arch City Sports. And
there's good coverage
Several
the point,
online.
Got to remember The Point.
The guys from The Point, Moon and Lux, have come out, and the Rizzuto Show came out to one game. But Moon and Lux came back again after that first game. They had so much fun. Everything's going well, and that's in large part thanks to people like you who listen to this podcast, who show up to games, who comment on the post's website when they do an article.
Because that's the other thing, too, is that when they do that, like it, share it, because that's hits, and that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, so good ups, good props to everybody. Thanks for coming to the games, and we'll see you.
Long may it continue.
We'll see you Ballpark Village this Saturday. Soccer Park the next Saturday, Kansas City the next Tuesday. So lots to do, lots to come out to. And as always, follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Mr. Bird, you got anything?
No, I just you know, it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, that's the only word I can...
Having so much fun.
I'm having a time.
A year and a half ago, we would have killed for this.
Oh, wouldn't we?
And here it is.
Seriously, if you'd have told me 18 months ago we're going to go watch our own team from St. Louis go play in an MLS stadium, I'd be like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what junior? Is my son's team playing at halftime?
If you'd have told us we were playing Harrisburg City Islanders, I'd have looked at you funny, to be honest. And that's more important right
now. It was the Chupacabra. It was. yeah. We're getting a pro team, right. Tell me, you know, did you see Bigfoot too?
Yeah.
So, hey, we're living the dream.
We are living the dream. And we've got a great front office. We've got a great group of guys playing for us. I mean, I can't stress that enough. Yeah. They are a top class.
And a great group of guys and gals that come out and have fun with us at the games. I mean, you know, again, if we don't know you personally, please come up and introduce yourselves. I mean, I meet people on Facebook and Twitter all the time, but I don't know you in person, so...
And it's probably going to take a couple times of introducing yourself just because there's so many of them.
Except for Joe Brandon. Joe, I know who you are. You don't have to introduce yourself every time.
He asked you a great question on Twitter. In the meanwhile, I went up to Buffalo, New York, and I met Stephen Brandt. He is the creator and host of the Yellow Card podcast. We did a scarf swap, and I got to know him. If you like listening to soccer podcasts, listen to his podcast. It's called Yellow Card, and I have a yellow scarf that he gave me, and I'm probably going to give it away at a podcast where we don't have as much to talk about. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, real quick, one last thing. Joe Brandon, I'm glad you mentioned it, Bird. He asked the question, what do you expect the roster turnover to be for next season? Going to be hard getting attached to these guys and have to see them go.
Well, Pace is gone. There's no way he's here.
If he's not, he's definitely on somebody's short list in case somebody gets injured.
Well, some of these guys are on two-year contracts, though, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's
I think
true.
Some of them are. But
they can be bought.
Yes, they can. And if I was an MLS scout, I would be looking over the fences of USL because there's some handy players in this.
Right. There's nothing we can do if an MLS team comes a call and God bless that player.
Or not even MLS. It could be Serie B team.
A higher level.
Yes.
What
yes.
we need to do and what actually Jim Cavanaugh himself told me at one tailgate was we're not going to lose any players to our division. You know, he said, I can't control if an MLS team comes in and wants our guy. I'm not going to stop that kid from progressing.
Yeah.
But I don't want any of our players to want to go anywhere else, is what he was saying. We're going to do everything right. We're going to make sure they're happy and they want to stay here. That's not to say we're always going to want to keep the guy. We may want to shuffle some guys. But any guys we want to keep, we don't want it to be a question. And I've told people this before. When we're out there making noise, yes, it's for our guys, but it's also for the opposing team. So when the guy
Absolutely.
At Harrisburg City Islanders contract comes up at the end of the summer and he's looking around where he wants to play.
You want to make St. Louis an attractive proposition.
We want him to remember, God, those fans in St. Louis were crazy. And
the facility was nice.
I would love to go play there.
Yeah.
You know, how great would it be if one of Louisville's guys, you know, decided to come play at St. Louis because he was tired of tripping on the seam between the infield. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we're going to lose some guys. As long as they're moving up, I don't care.
It's very difficult to tell a 23-year-old you can't go and make
right.
grand a year.
And let's take Alec Cann or Patrick Doty, for example, since they are signed to Chicago Fire uh-huh. and the goal is for them to
establish themselves.
Go back up to the Fire. If Doty becomes a starting player for the Fire, I'm going to watch Chicago Fire games.
Absolutely.
Which now, I don't think you could pay me to watch a Chicago Fire game. You
no,
know?
I know what you mean.
But if my guy is on that team, and he'll be somebody I root for. So, yes, it will be hard to see Pace if Pace moves on and goes up. But
can his beard stay here?
Yeah. I'll be proud of him, and I'll watch him.
Absolutely.
And Dale said it when we had him on the podcast. If we're moving guys forward, there'll be no shortage of good players who want to come in. So I think the answer to your question, Joe, is I think the guys who are at this level, who are still going to be at this level, I think we'll keep them. I think we're making them happy. You know, that's not to say St. Louis is a perfect fit. Some guy may want to go play in California or, you know, be closer to where he's originally from or whatever. But I don't think we'll lose that many guys to other USL teams.
I agree.
But if the guy goes up, we have to look at that as a good thing, and we have to wish him well.
And as you say, if they go on to bigger and better things, we'll follow their careers.
Yeah, if Dale gets a reputation or just the club in general of,
King
you
makers.
Know, moving guys on, better players will want to come in. Just like, you know, college basketball is the best example I can think of. You know, Duke always gets first shot at the great players, or North Carolina or Program X, because they know
they can get paid there.
Guys that go to Duke, well, Duke's not such a good example for that. Guys that go to North Carolina turn pro. Guys that follow this path, and so that makes their recruiting so much easier every year. The blue chippers come to them. They're not beating the bushes looking for diamonds in the rough. Polished diamonds are showing up at their door,
yeah.
And they take their pick. That should be our goal is, you know, when a guy's contract comes up and he's looking around where he wants to play in the USL, we want to be on that short list.
And we know
always.
Dale's already got that reputation already.
Right. So you put the facility together, you put the fans together, all of it.
That's good. What happened with Hardware. I mean, he was with Harrisburg City last year, and he's got ties to this area. He saw that there was a team playing here. He got on the first playing and came over and
Was impressed with during the tryouts how they were treated, how they were, you know, and we've talked to the guys who've been around the league a little bit, and they say, no, St. Louis is first class with how they treat players. Mm-hmm. And you know those guys have friends at other teams, and they're telling them, oh, our fans are crazy. You know, they stood out in 120 minutes of a downpour, you know, 200 of them. You know, oh, yeah, well, when we get off the bus, they've got a meal for us. And, little things like that, St. Louis is doing right. So I think we'll be okay on that front, Joe.
Because we're awesome.
All right. Anything else, guys?
I don't think so.
Harrisburg? Kansas City?
Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh on the big screens at Ballpark Village. Then Harrisburg.
Make noise.
Then Kansas City.
That's all you need to know.
Three wins, and we'll be back on the pod.
Who do you want in the next round?
I haven't looked at it. Did they draw it yet?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't want to look too far ahead.
I know.
I'm fine.
Just with you.
Yeah.
I want Oklahoma Joe's. That's what I want.
Yeah. City. Yeah, we're going to have the bus stop at Oklahoma Joe's.
Goddamn right.
All right.
We'll
thanks.
Call ahead.
Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you out there at the games.
See you.
Going back to Kansas City. And I love you to you, but just how long can I keep seeing?